So the second two mind terms, karma and karma vipaka, actions and the consequences of actions, and the faults of samsara, or conditioned existence, in Tsongkhapa's commentaries on these, are said to overcome clinging to future pleasures. So I think in the second two mind turnings, you kind of, everything opens up into a bigger perspective, you know, the wheel of life and the 12 vidhanas, that whole kind of perspective of karma and the wheel of life. And we might be thinking, well, you know, we've got this life, but you know, if we have some kind of belief in karma and rebirth, that we've got lots of lives, so you know, we can cruise in this one and we'll have another one, and you know, we've got plenty of time, as it were. We might have a nice future birth. And the traditional teaching says, well, you don't know that you're going to have the same opportunities and freedoms in your next life. Your next life, in this context of rebirth, is uncertain. You don't know what your rebirth is going to be. You don't know which realm you might be born into. And this, of course, obviously relates to the whole teaching of karma and rebirth, which is in some ways a simple teaching in the sense of the teaching that actions do have consequences. This is what we're trying to reflect on and understand more and more deeply, that actions have consequences, so that skillful actions generally have still skillful consequences and unskillful actions have unskillful consequences. But of course, in a bigger perspective, the teachings of karma and rebirth are quite complex, and you'll be in Ratna Dharani's hands as she explores that more deeply with you later on in the retreat. But if we reflect on these two, on karma and karma vipaka, and on, you know, the wheel of life of the six realms, we see that things go kind of up and down in the wheel of life, don't they? You have that whole kind of cyclic, you know, samsara is a cycle, and we sort of cycle through it in dependence upon our intentional mental states. And that's true. If you look at it cosmologically, it's also true if you look psychologically, that the kind of mental states we get into is very much dependent on the actions, the intentional actions of body, speech and mind that we perform. So we go up and down in this life, and we go up and down over births, and by reflecting on karma and karma vipaka and karma samsara as a whole, we see that even pleasant states end. So again, it's kind of seeing the limitation, I suppose, of merely pleasant or pleasurable states of mind. If you look at the bigger picture, we see that even having a precious human birth in those six realms is not enough, because life comes to an end. And, you know, we don't know what seeds of karma are going to come into fruition in our next life. We don't know what kind of circumstances, external conditions we're going to find ourselves in. So we really don't know that we're going to have the same potential. We don't know we're going to have the same opportunities and freedoms in a future life. So we can't necessarily just bank on, yeah, it'll be great next time around. So the reflection on these two, if we have any kind of tendency to think, yeah, it'll be great in the future and we'll have a hedonistic life this time around, brings us to perhaps to understand that, you know, we may not find these fortunate circumstances again. And I think reflection on karma and karma vipaka also kind of kind of tendency which this counteracts is that sometimes we think we can act with impunity, that actually our actions don't matter that much. And this reflection says, our actions matter, our intentional actions matter, because Buddhist ethics is an ethics of intention, by and large. So our actions matter, your actions matter, my actions matter. And it's not that some sort of external law that's going to sort of punish us if we're bad. It's just that the things that we do with body, speech and mind are kind of deposited, as it were, speaking metaphorically, as seeds in our mind stream, and those seeds will bear fruit, more like to bear fruit than not bear fruit. So our whole being is modified by our intentional action. You know all this. So, but how seriously we take that, if we really took that seriously, then I suppose we would be acting skillfully all the time. And we know that that's not true. So we can always take our understanding of karma and karma vipaka more deeply and see on more levels that our actions of body, speech and mind do modify our life and also the world in which we live. So it's sort of a wake-up call, and you know, this is going to lead us to go for refuge more deeply, and I think in particular it's going to lead us to choose our actions of body, speech and mind more consciously, more carefully, and to direct those actions more and more along skillful channels rather than unskillful, which of course is reflected in our practice of the precepts. So it's very much by reflecting on karma and karma and Parker, we were engaged with the whole kind of ethics in the Buddhist tradition.